The opening night of this season's knockout stage was dramatic. 15 goals across four superb knockout playoff first legs. Holders Paris Saint-Germain, record winners Real Madrid, plus Dortmund and Galatasaray were victorious. The return legs next week will be fascinating, with a place in the last 16 on offer. We'll review it all over the next 30 minutes or so. Welcome along, I'm Chris Parrott, and the knockout stage of the 2025-2026 UEFA Champions League is underway on the road to Budapest. These the confirmed results on Tuesday in the first leg of these ties. In the early game, Galatasaray 5, Juventus 2, and in the three late fixtures, Benfica 0, Real Madrid 1, Monaco 2, Paris Saint-Germain 3, and Borussia Dortmund 2, Atalanta 0. The European football expert Andy Brassel alongside me, as well as commentator Mike Sewell. Gents, brilliant way to start this long road towards the Hungarian capital, and ultimately, Andy, glory for somebody in 2026.
Yeah, a lot going on in this first night of the UEFA Champions League knockout round playoffs. It's been every bit as exciting as we could have hoped.
Very impressive display from Galatasaray early this evening against Juventus, and then, as we've just seen, Real Madrid doing a business-like, very solid performance against Benfica to get that advantage.
We never know where we're going to start on the official podcast. We always have a big discussion amongst us and the production staff. Tonight it could have been in numerous locations across the continent, but we are going to start at Stade Louis II in Monaco. Paris Saint-Germain, the holders, for the second time in the space of a year, 12 months ago, they also, Andy, played someone from Ligue 1, a domestic rival in European competition. Of course, they beat Brest last season, en route ultimately to the final and their first ever UEFA Champions League victory. And this one was remarkable, really. Monaco, 2-0 up inside 18 minutes, thanks to two excellent goals from Folarin Balogun. We then saw Paris Saint-Germain awarded a penalty, saved by Philip Kern from Vitinha's effort. At that stage, everything going Monaco's way. Ousmane Dembele was forced off. Désiré Doué came on, and the entire match and perhaps tie changed at that moment, because he was sensational.
He's starting to shape it into his competition, Désiré Doué, isn't he? Because if you think at that moment, as you say, everything going right for Monaco, and then the Ballon d'Or goes off, is forced off, and you think, okay, yeah, right, this really isn't the night for Paris, is it? And then Désiré Doué with two goals either side of half-time, an almost assist in between, because it's his shot that's saved by Kern and converted into the equaliser by Ashraf Hakimi, bombing on into that position we're so used to seeing him in, to take it into the break level. And Doué makes a massive, massive difference. It shows you the extraordinary strength and extraordinary strength in depth that Paris Saint-Germain have, the great attacking quality they have. I think a good reminder of what they do so well, and you could argue that going back into last season, Désiré Doué, when he comes on for Gonçalo Ramos on match day 6 of 8 in the league stage away at Salzburg, that's the bit where Luis Enrique thinks, oh, you know what, amorphous front three, that sounds like a bit of me. And really, he's the player who, from the middle of the UEFA Champions League campaign to the very end of the Fußball Arena München, changes the way that Paris Saint-Germain are and makes them into the best team in Europe. And he's reminded us of that again this evening.
He only turned 20 on the 3rd of June, shortly after helping Paris Saint-Germain win the UEFA Champions League, this competition, for the first time. And Mike, if we look at that strength in depth, and obviously Paris Saint-Germain will hope that Ousmane Dembélé's injury is nothing serious, particularly with the second legs only next week in this competition. But what an option to have. And we mustn't, you know, forget Kang In Lee, and you mentioned Ramos there. 5 or 6 amazing forwards to pick from, Luis Enrique. And if you don't start, I guess the message to everybody now in the dressing room will be, I want you to come on and have the same impact as Désiré Doué did.
And he's going to have a good eye for a player that can do that. And clearly bringing in the players like Doué, when you've got someone like Dembélé going off, is a real plus for Paris Saint-Germain. To come back from 2-0 down early on against a league rival, I mean, they've done it. It's been good for Paris Saint-Germain, because you'd think, having won the title last season, that they wouldn't be in this position. They'd already be through and waiting for their opponents rather than having to make their own way there.
Andy, there's been much discussion about, you know, the merits of finishing in the top eight, the merits of potentially having two more knockout games to really tune up for the last 16 as well. We're in the second season of this. New era with the league phase and then the knockout playoff. Of course, Paris Saint-Germain won it from a similar position. And you could see tonight that the second half was a real statement. But from Monaco's perspective, still only a goal down in the tie. They've been to the Parc des Princes already this season in the French top flight and have won. This tie, therefore, not over at all.
I mean, it's remarkable when you think about it that they were 2-0 up in 20 minutes, Monaco. They've ended up losing the game. And after the second half, they'll probably be sitting there thinking, yeah, that's not too bad. Because if you think, whatever team talk Pocognoli gave at half-time, it all went out the window when you had that red card for Alexander Golovin. They go 3-2 down. And despite the fact they could have had an equaliser, because there's that shot from Denis Zakaria, which brings a brilliant save, by the way, out of Safonov. And, you know, there is something in the UEFA Champions League about Paris Saint-Germain goalkeepers excelling, isn't there?
Yes.
We go back to Gigi Donnarumma last season. But they've got through to the second leg only a goal down. And especially, you talked about Kang In Lee, that the impact that he made when he came on as substitute, could have had a goal, maybe two, but didn't. I don't think Monaco and Pocognoli will be that displeased. Because, of course, just like at this stage last year, Paris score three goals on the road in the first game, but the situation could be more different.
Yeah, last season they added seven more at home to win 10-0.
Yeah.
against Brest. But we can now hear from the man of the moment, Désiré Doué.
The way I play is not the most important tonight. The most important is the victory, obviously. And we did the job tonight, so we are really happy. I try my best every game to help the team, to play the most good, I don't know if I can say it, the most good I can. So, yeah, I'm happy tonight.
Désiré Doué, understandably, very, very pleased. What a performance from him. Paris Saint-Germain 3-2 winners away at Monaco. The return leg, Wednesday, the 25th of February. There was plenty more drama across Europe on this Champions League Tuesday. And next we will head to Istanbul, where Galatasaray took on Juventus. Here is how this one unfolded. James Fielden was on commentary.
Cambiaso. Oh, Osimhen steals in. Torreira on. Lower Lankan and shoot. Gabriel Sala does. And that's 1-0. He's delivered on a European stage here for Galatasaray. Great ball in, what a save, and the immediate equaliser from Turn Kupmeiners. Just mere seconds between the two goals. Kupmeiners, McKenny, and Kupmeiners, he's through again, and he's scored again. Juventus have turned it around, and they lead in Istanbul. Saloy, by Turan. Fine across, it's got to be, it's 2-2. It's taken them fewer than 4 minutes in this second half, and Noah Lang has his first goal for Galatasaray. It's the game that keeps on giving. Gabriel Sara with the free kick. And in it goes! Delight for Chimbo. And this stadium is shaking once again. Oh, they've won it back. It's got to be. It's a fourth goal. Noah Lang at it again. Osimhen. Oh, a chance here for another, which they've got. Rammed home by Sacha Boey.
Yes, that goal 4 minutes from time, giving Galatasaray a three-goal lead to take to Turin for the second leg. 2-1 down at half-time to two very fine goals from Turn Kupmeiners, Andy. Four unanswered second-half goals. That is a serious statement on what was a A big night for Galatasaray, back at this stage for the first time in more than a decade.
Yeah, it really was. And of course, they've got form against Juventus in the past. Last time they played each other, just over 12 years ago, that famous game that was played over 2 days, and Wesley Sneijder won that for Galatasaray right at the end. This was nowhere near as close. And when you think, it's remarkable, you have to remind yourself, going back over the film of the match, that Juventus winning at half-time. Because the way that Galatasaray played in the second half was breathtaking. It was extraordinary. They were brave, they were front foot, and when they got themselves in front, and there was the red card for Juan Cabal as well, I think to really go to try and give themselves a substantial lead to take away to Turin, it was a clear tactical decision. You look at the substitutions that Okan Buruk made. They were brave, they were front foot, and they were rewarded.
Yeah, brought on the likes of Leroy Sané, Mauro Icardi, and of course Sacha Boey, who got the late goal. Galatasaray 5, Juventus 2. We can get more from our reporter Erin Orkin, who was covering this match, and he told me about the atmosphere in Istanbul.
Yeah, it's incredible. Most of the European competitions in Galatasaray history, it's always like that. But more often in this stadium, the Niv Stadium, the fans are much more effective than the any match. You know, the coach, they came in. Also, the players always comments about it. The fans are amazing always.
Galatasaray's first knockout phase game since 2014, I think. What does this mean for Turkish football as well as Galatasaray to have such a big victory at this stage in the Champions League?
Yeah, it's very important, and the team also focus on the Champions League. And after this second season of the league phase, whole team is focused and get the results of their training. They feel very proud and very successful. And also the coach says we generally make this biggest clubs in European football. They are focused on it.
Erin Orkin there. Galatasaray certainly did that. 5-2 winners. The UEFA player of the match, unsurprisingly, was Gabriel Sara. We can hear from him now.
It's an incredible feeling. I didn't expect to have a night like this, so I'm very proud, very happy, very proud of the guys as well. Great effort, and we knew it would be like a very tough game. But I think we managed, and I think we take good advantage when they had the red card. So it's not finished yet. We have more 90 minutes to go. But if you keep the focus, we can have a great performance again and go through.
Yeah, the Brazilian was outstanding. Mike, you watched a lot of Gabriel Sara when he arrived from South America into English football before then making the move to Turkey. A brilliant talent. Tonight we saw him in perhaps one of the biggest club games of his career. Really take it to that next level against, you know, a great name in Juventus.
Well, when he was at Norwich City, he signed from Sao Paulo. He had 2 years at Norwich City, and he really shone above everybody else in the team, and that's clearly why Galatasaray went out and signed him. What he gives is, and a lot of people talk about his finishing, his left foot, he's clinical with that left foot of his. From any kind of distance, he's scored a lot of what they like to call screamers, yeah, in England. But he's also scored a lot of goals where he's come from positions where no one's picking him up, and he'll just drop into a gap, nod in from 7 or 8 metres out. But he'll also sit deep and wait for a pass. His distribution is excellent. So he provides a lot of different elements within his game. And added to that, he's a very humble, happy, personable guy. And I think that probably goes, his personality goes a long way to helping him in a team. But he's an excellent player. And I think when he was playing for Norwich City, even those Norwich City fans knew that he wasn't going to be at the club very long because he had the potential to go a lot higher. But he's a very important player who offers them a lot in that midfield.
And he is eyeing up the round of 16 next week when Galatasaray go to Turin with that three-goal advantage after the 5-2 success in Istanbul. Still to come, we'll look at this evening's other matches and a little bit ahead to Wednesday's knockout playoff ties, which get underway in the Champions League.
UEFA Champions League Match Day Live with you wherever you go, with audio commentary, real-time stats and much, much more. Get the complete experience and download the official Champions League app today.
Okay, to Portugal next, as Benfica welcomed the record winners of this competition, Real Madrid to Lisbon. Andy and Mike were watching for Match Day Live. This was the moment that won it.
Plays it to the edge of the area. Vinicius Junior! Thunderous effort into the far corner. Trubin, no chance. That's one of the goals of the UEFA Champions League.
He starts in a fairly wide position, comes in from the touchline. It's not a forgiving angle at all. He hasn't really got much of the goal to aim at, but he bends it so accurately right into the top corner.
It was an absolute rasper from Vinicius Junior, who has moved to second on his own. He was level with Kaká on 30 goals before this evening. He's moved ahead of him outright and only behind Neymar now in terms of top Brazilian scorers in the UEFA Champions League proper. Some illustrious names alongside an exceptional footballer. Andy, we heard you sum it up in commentary. No right to score from that position on the pitch, and it was the moment of genius that broke the deadlock in a tight competitive game. It was going to take something like that, wasn't it?
Yeah, and I think it was kind of like a nod to Jose Mourinho and what he can offer, really, because you look at the last 20 minutes of that first half and you think the amount of opportunities that Real Madrid had down their right hand side. They had to anticipate that Mourinho would respond to that. And they did anticipate it. And really, it's great work by Arbeloa and great work by his team, because there's a conscious effort in the start of the second half to push Vinicius wider on that left-hand side, where he made his name for Real Madrid, and get him the ball more. And in that, they sort of counteracted the reaction that they could expect from Mourinho. And that was the bit that won the game, really. Pushing Vinicius that little bit wider and then allowing him the space with those runs from Antonio Carreras down the outside to come inside a bit more. And poor old Amar Dedic, I don't think he knew where to put himself with those two on either side of him. And Vinicius was just merciless in the way he took advantage of that.
I've just been watching the replays of it, and you know the amount of angles that we get these days watching players score goals. And you watch the moment he picks the ball up from Mbappe on that left side, he never looks at the goal. He never looks towards Trubin. His eyes are focused on the player in front of him, the ground in front of him. It's almost like he felt his way into the position he wanted to be in and then unleashed the shot. I guess it's a case of repetition when you're doing it on the training ground day after day after day after day, that you know exactly what you need to do when you get into a certain position on the pitch. Because he didn't look up. His eyes are fixed on the ground, on the body in front of him, the pitch in front of him.
It was Thierry Henry-esque.
Yeah,
really,
it was.
Wasn't it?
Yeah.
Like, as you say, a rehearsed move, a trademark move almost.
Almost instinctive as well, maybe, when he's in that position. You had a lovely phrase about the part of the goal that he picked out, Andy.
On the Dormer Cartuja. Yeah, where the owl sleeps. That's what they'll be saying in Lisbon tonight, over a commiseration drink.
I was going to say, but do watch that game on UEFA.com and the Champions League app. A goal well worthy of watching over and over again. Of course, this was a repeat of the Match Day 8 fixture when Anatoly Trubin scored in the 98th minute. So Benfica will head to Madrid next week, only a goal down, with Jose Mourinho, believing that they can still make their way through to the round of 16. Borussia Dortmund, meanwhile, will head to the north of Italy and Atalanta with a two-goal advantage. And this really, Andy, was all about their number nine, Serhou Guirassy, who was exceptional again in the Champions League.
Yes, and of course the leading goal scorer from last season. And it's his competition all over again. You know, he had to come up all the way through a particularly prolific spell with Stuttgart. He wasn't a shooting star when he was a teenager. He's worked his way into this position to become one of the most dangerous strikers in Europe in the UEFA Champions League. But we saw both sides to him tonight. So the trademark header to open the scoring, and then again the assist for Maxi Bayer to score the easiest goal he'll ever score, really. It was such a perfect ball for him, and Bayer just had to walk it in, giving Dortmund a great advantage. And Guirassy is back to his relentless best. That's 6 goals in 4 games now. Now, you think he's never let Dortmund down, but he's been struggling for goals earlier in the season. He'd scored 5 in the previous 25, and now he's really starting to hit his straps just at that point of the season where Dortmund really need him to.
100th win in this competition, of course. Winners in 1997, Borussia Dortmund, and runners-up a couple of times since, including 2 seasons ago when they ran Real Madrid oh so close at Wembley. Atalanta, we know what they can do in European competition, particularly at home, where they've had some great nights. 2-0 down, they won't believe that this is over at all, will they?
No, they won't. And they've got so many attacking weapons. I mean, I think if you look at the players, not just that they had on the field, but they had available to bring on Atalanta. As they're going for it in the second leg, as the game goes on, they'll be able to try everything, and Rafael Palladino will try everything to get them back into this game. And it's a chocolate box of a ground over there in Bergamo where they can really lift the decibels.
And the return leg of that fixture, of course, on Wednesday the 25th of February. Borussia Dortmund with a 2-0 advantage. We can hear from the UEFA player of the match now, Serhou Guirassy.
Yeah, I think it wasn't so bad, but yeah, I don't play alone. I need of course my teammate to be efficient, and yeah, today was a top first half. Yeah, the second one was I would say less intensity, but they also played a good second half. But yeah. In overall, we defend very, very good, and we will go there with 2 goals in between. So yeah.
So that is Tuesday's results analysed, and a reminder that UEFA Champions League Matchday Live back on air from 8:45 CET on Wednesday, ahead of our featured commentary match, which is Bodo Glimt against Inter. Now, the host story is remarkable. It will be cold in the Arctic Circle in Norway, but here is the Inter boss, Christian Kivu.
It's not that we haven't seen snow. It's snowing even in Italy. It's a lot of snow. Actually, our training ground is close to the mountains, so we see snow almost every day while we're traveling to our facility. We are not impressed by the snow. We are impressed by whatever this team is. Bodo has done a great job lately, as I said before, in all the competition, Europa League in the years, Champions League this season, where they had they reached 9 points that they allowed them to reach the playoff game. And we know that it's not going to be easy, and we are ready to, as they are, to get through.
Very well said. Number one, Andy, the Winter Olympics is currently taking place in Milan. So he's absolutely right about the conditions, but also about the remarkable rise of Bodo Glimt and what a quality outfit they are on the pitch. Just talk to us, one about this, you know, journey they've been on, and two, the final results in the league phase to get through to this encounter with Inter were exceptional.
Well, look, you're right, Chris, and I think it is worth underlining those 2 games. The results and the performances against Manchester City and Atletico Madrid, 2 contenders for this competition, were exceptional in games that those teams both needed points out of, by the way, to try and make the top 8. But look, I think if we're talking about the empire that they've built over the past 5 or 6 years, it's remarkable under Kjetil Knutsen. and they get these great results again and again and again. But still, it's about progression. You look at them getting to the quarterfinals of the UEFA Europa League, but there was a big difference between them and Tottenham last year. They've gone away and they've improved. They've improved a lot, really, in season for them, of course, because it's a summer league in Norway, so that they've managed to go and do that. And I think Inter will be keeping an eye out as well for Jens Petter Hauge, scorer of those two goals against Manchester City, and of course first really announced himself in European football with their City rivals Milan before making his way back to Norway.
Yeah, that game, not one to be missed. The first leg of the knockout playoff, one of four games on Wednesday. The early fixture from Baku, Karabag against Newcastle. Historic occasion here as well. Newcastle's first ever game in the Champions League knockout phase. But Karabag, the first team from their country to reach the latter stages of the European Cup, the Champions League. Another amazing story. Two clubs looking to go one step further now they've reached this stage and reached the round of 16.
And like Bodø/Glimt, Karabakh have done extraordinarily well to get to this stage. Of course, that win on the penultimate game of the league stage against Frankfurt, they were 2-1 down with 15 minutes left and managed to haul themselves out of it and win it with pretty much the last kick of the game. An incredible effort by them. And Gurban Gurbanov, who has been the coach there for nearly 20 years now, has really built them up through the various stages of UEFA club competition to get them to this point. It's an incredible effort, but Newcastle making, really showing their experience from the year before last, when they fell just a little bit short in a very challenging UEFA Champions League group, and they've proven themselves a little bit more mature this time.
Yeah, that game is the early encounter. Olympiakos against Leverkusen and Club Brugge against Atletico as well on Wednesday. Tuesday, well, tomorrow we'll have to go some to better it, to be honest with you. These are the results again. Benfica 0, Real Madrid 1, Galatasaray 5, Juventus 2, Monaco 2, Paris Saint-Germain 3, and Borussia Dortmund 2, Atalanta 0. Mike, I've been asked for your player / moment of the evening on this Champions League Tuesday.
One or the other?
You take it where you want.
I was really impressed with Real Madrid's midfield tonight. I think Tchouameni was the player of the match. I think Camavinga was exceptional. And then Valverde and Güler working around them. I mean, that's what got them the result they needed.
We're going to have to give it to Noah Lang. Two goals for Galatasaray. What a moment to score your first two goals for your new club. And Juventus must be sick of the sight of him after he was involved for PSV, knocking them out at this stage last year.
Andy, Mike, thank you very much. That is all we have time for this evening. It was a cracking night in the UEFA Champions League as the knockout stage got underway. Don't forget, you can download the official podcast shortly after every match night of this season's competition. We'll be back on air 8:45 Central European time on Wednesday. Full commentary of Bodø/Glimt against Inter, plus the goals as they go in from the other two late games, and analysis on Karabag against Newcastle. My thanks to Andy and Mike for their company, but for now, from me, Chris Parrott, and the rest of the Matchday Live team, it is goodbye.
You've been listening to the official UEFA Champions League podcast.